We'd like to take a second before this episode to thank our sponsor for this episode, Iowa Sports Supply. Iowa Sports Supply is locally owned and operated and has been providing quality sporting goods, uniforms, and corporate apparel for high schools, colleges, corporations, and Iowa communities for over 60 years. With your next team or corporate need, please visit iowasports.com. The Shooter's Touch and Iowa Sports Supply would like to remind you to support local businesses and shop local this holiday season. This week on The Shooter's Touch, we bring on court coach for USA Basketball, a public speaker, and head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East, Raz Vanderloo. Raz has some incredible stories from Vanderloo being at the helm at Sioux City East since 1974 to how he and a group of guys got to the bottom bowl at a Final Four several years ago. Raz is an incredible basketball mind and has had some great teams at Sioux City East. We talked to him about his coaching philosophy, how those great teams fared, and the top five to come out of Sioux City East High School. We hope you enjoy the conversation with Raz as much as we did, and here he is, Coach Raz Vanderloo.
I got the shooter's touch. Can't nobody shoot like me. Fourth quarter down three, need a two and one. Better call on me, better call on me. If you know you need a shooter, I'm ice cold like a cooler. Get you right though, I can tutor. This that mic flow, I'm a hooper. I got blue faces on blue faces. I'm too.
Welcome back, shooters. As mentioned, we have head boys basketball coach at Sioux City East High School, Raz Vanderloo. Coach, welcome to the Shooter's Touch.
Hey, I appreciate it. I'm honored to be on. I've seen that list of guests that you've had, and I'm thinking, well, how do I fit on this deal? But it must be a slow day, so you got me.
Well, we needed a little Western Iowa flavor, and so we thought Raz would be the perfect candidate.
Yeah, is this thing, is it censored or anything? Can we just be open, or how are we doing this?
Absolutely.
We do not market to the children, so we are we are open for conversation.
That's why I like it.
Well, perfect. Coach, before we get going, we talked a little off air, but how are everything in your neck of the wood, obviously given the unusual circumstance we're in? How's the family? How are things in your corner of the state?
Well, it's rising. I think it is everywhere. Woodbury County, where Sioux City is, the numbers are high, but we're in school. We've been in school since day one. I anticipated going that way. I'm at some point in time, something needs to happen. I don't know enough about it to probably even guess, but there's no right or wrong answer. If things get shut down, I don't like it, but I get it. If things continue, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, the numbers are not good. I know that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, and then hopefully we can at least have a plan moving forward, and we'll all adapt as we have the last, 8 months. We'll figure out a way, we'll make it work, and we'll keep things going. So with that, Coach, we always like to start to jump into background and learn a little bit about your childhood and growing up and obviously what role sports played in that. I know you come from a coaching family, a big family, a lot of boys, a lot of sports. I can imagine you guys were busy as youngsters.
We definitely were. I mean, those were the days before the fancy video games the kids have now. So we played in the street. I mean, we had more street ball games, football, wiffle ball, basketball. Normally it turned into a fight at the end of the game, but we played for a while before it turned into a fight. I got myself and three brothers. My older brother, Jeff, who's down at Creighton as an assistant. I have two younger brothers that are both coaches and been coaches. Now one of them's moved into the dark side of the administrative world. So we don't talk to him as much, but we had all boys, athletic family. We played sports. I don't know how athletic we were, but we played sports. We all went to East High here in Sioux City, so it's our alma mater. Sioux City is home, even though we've lived a few other places, but Sioux City is definitely home. It's actually a good place to be, contrary to maybe what some of you Des Moines area people or even Eastern Iowa people think. I'm not saying it's a tourist attraction, but it's a good place to be. I know that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've heard good things. It's not all the stereotypes that maybe you get in other parts of the state. I've heard good things about Sioux City, and A little bit of a football guy, though, playing up, right? Growing up. So what sports did you play in high school? And I know specifically football was kind of your jam, right?
Yep, I played football here at East High. Obviously during the 80s, football was rolling then. Right after me, we were the state champs in 84. I was 83 grad, so I wasn't part of that deal. But our football was very good. After that, I played at Morningside College. Then I moved on into coaching. I was actually a football GA at the University of Iowa under Hayden Fry. So I'm actually a football guy at heart, just trying to figure out this orange ball rather than the oblong one. So it's working out pretty good. But no, football was always my thing, and I've coached it a long time. I came back here to Sioux City, coached here, and then the basketball job opened up. I ended up getting it, luckily, and it's been really good. So, I've no complaints. I still love football, and I watch a lot of it. I cheer on the Hawkeyes every chance I can get. But I'm a basketball guy now.
Well, Hayden Fry would definitely be a good one to learn a few things from if you had the chance to be a GA on his staff.
And absolutely incredible experience. But the things you learn, the things behind the scenes that you learn are invaluable. Just that staff alone. Kirk Ferentz was the offensive line coach. Dan McCarney was the D-line coach. the Stoops brothers were around there. Mike a lot. It was a great group. Barry Alvarez had just left. Bill Schneider was there. And obviously went to K-State and did great, great things. Bobby Elliott, who has since passed, was there. So it was an incredible staff. Great guys to be around. Like I said, the experience is something you never forget.
You mentioned it. That coaching tree of Hayden Fry has still got to be one of the best coaching trees we've had. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of guys that have gone on to do, bigger and better things. And I think it's a credit to him and the way that he did things, but it's also the guys in which that he brought in. I know he's been noted saying that he wants guys on his staff that want to be head coaches, and it worked out really well for him.
No, it certainly did. And to learn the things, like I said, the behind-the-scenes things, incredible. To sit in on those meetings, those daily meetings every day with that group of guys was unbelievable. To see how Coach Fry orchestrated the whole thing. There were some good days, some fun days, some days when things were topped up a notch. But that happens at any coaching level, especially at the high college level. I mean, it's you either win or you're out. So winning is important. That it's daily meetings, it's long hours, but the experience is invaluable, and it was a great, great time.
One of the things with Hayden is that he's talked about, empowering his assistants, which I think is one of the things that we kind of see throughout sports is, obviously as coaches, we've all coached at some level. I mean, we are control freaks. We like to try to control the environment as much as possible. But if you hire the right people and you give them a little power, it's amazing. It's amazing what you can accomplish.
Oh, you're not even kidding. I actually, into my current situation, I have been very fortunate to hire some great guys. I've learned from great people. Hayden Fry, like I said, I worked for Walt Fiegel, a legendary football coach in Western Iowa for a long time. My dad was an AD for 30 years over here. So those types, you learn organization real quick. And you learn kind of what, you can't cheat on hours and you can't cheat on effort if you plan on winning. So all those people had great influences.
You're mixed in with the Don Showalter coaching tree too, aren't you? You've probably taken a few things from that experience.
Incredible guy. I know a lot of people down in the Iowa City way, just south of there, Mid Prairie area, know Don real well. He has risen through the ranks of, like I said, 1A, 2A basketball all the way to world championship basketball with USA basketball. I was lucky enough to have him give me a call several years ago and ask if I wanted to be involved. And obviously you drop what you're doing and say yes. That's been an incredible experience as well, to be around all those people, to be around national teams and their training camps and some of their clinics and academies they put on. I've been part of that. I've been a speaker at them. I've been a coach at the national at the training camps. So it's been unbelievable. Would be probably the only word I can give you.
Speaking of coaching trees, Don in the state of Iowa has done quite the job of churning out some guys that either worked with, under, or around. Snow Valley is a big part of that too, and what he's been able to do over there. And it's a really cool to see. And obviously through this podcast, make these connections with everybody who's had such an impact. And Showalter usually has a hand in that somewhere.
Don has 150 different hands. If it involves coaching, if it involves basketball, at any level, youth, high school, he was mentioned as one of the top 100 influential guys in college basketball. He's got a lot of influence at every level. He's coached megastars, the NBA guys. So, I mean, you think a guy from small town Iowa and put 10 gold medals around his neck, that story is incredible.
So you're basically telling us that Don Showalter needs to be on the podcast next. Is that right?
Well, I can't believe he wasn't before me. That's what I can't believe. I've risen above show. I'm on it.
That's right. No, that's great. Well, turning back here just a little bit. So obviously coming from a coaching family had a big impact on you, but can you pinpoint or figure out maybe a time, was there a situation when you're like, hey, I love playing. I know I can't play forever. I'm going to be a coach. Like, was there a moment or a time in which that you were able to say, hey, this is going to be my path?
Well, I think early on, like I said, my dad was a coach and an AD. That's all we really ever knew. We were teachers and coaches. My older brother got into teaching and coaching. I did, then my younger brothers. So I jokingly tell people that's the only thing we're dumb enough to do. But we've all done it. Like I said, there's been some great days involved. There's some tough days involved. I mean, anytime you get involved with coaching, you're dealing with different personalities. And anymore, if you don't put time and effort into it, you're not going to be real successful. You got to be able to deal with all kinds of people. But I think early on, I think it's just one of those deals that I'm going to be a teacher and a coach and figure this thing out. And I kind of started on the football path and took a left turn and went to the basketball.
Well, you mentioned it earlier too, Coach, that, you know, you obviously down the football path with the GA assistant coach, stuff like that. But then you ended up getting the Sioux City East, you ended up at Sioux City East. How did that all play out? You know, was it just something that opened up and you said, I want to get back and apply to it and it happened? Or, you know, we've heard a lot of great stories with how people got into that coaching, where they're at now. So if you could indulge us with that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I left the University of Iowa, I just gotten married, and I think my wife was telling me this GA thing is cool, but it's not real financially secure.
We've heard that before.
The experience was awesome. The pay was terrible. So I thought, well, if she's going to stick with me, I probably better figure out something. And so I took a job in Southern Iowa. I'm talking deep Southern Iowa, straight south of Des Moines, a small school, great place though, place called Mormon Trail. So it's a Class A school. It's down there. Great people to work with. I was there for 1 year. Great people to work with. I left there and I went to Woodbury Central. It's about 20 miles from Sioux City. It's in Mobile. I was the football coach. I was the basketball coach. I was the golf coach. One of those deals. I was kind of a little bit of everything. Same thing. Great people. I was there 4 years. I came into Sioux City. I was actually an assistant for my brother. My brother Jeff, my older brother at East, I was an assistant for God forever. 15 years maybe. I was an assistant football and basketball coach at East High. I tried to get the football job when that opened up, didn't get it. That's a whole other story. And then the basketball job opened up, and they took a chance on me, and I happy for the ones that did, and I think it's all worked out pretty good for everybody.
Yeah, I was looking back through some of its articles that I've read, and has the Vanderloo name, how long has that been on the head basketball coach at Sioux City East?
My dad got the job, I think, in 74. So from 74, we're like a bunch of inbreeds over here, you know. and it's one of those deals, you're either with us or against us. So, and I get it. I get both sides. But we've had great support. We've had great people, great community support, great players to deal with, great administrations. And I'm serious when I say that, because not all schools have great administrations to work with in the sports world. And the schools that do normally win. But I couldn't be happy with that. But it's been a long time that there's been a Vanderloo in that place.
That is a long, long time. But that's, you know, a great story and, you know, a great you know, obviously you guys are very passionate about the game and to be there that long, great coaches. And, you know, with your record specifically that you've had there, obviously a very good record. I think 155 wins, maybe 25 or 30 losses around there. you know, in high school basketball, we talk about it all the time where you got to have the players. What has your coaching philosophy been like during that time? Is it, we have this philosophy and these players have to mold into that? Or is it the opposite where, you know, hey, I have this athletic team this year, or I have an experienced team, so I'm going to mold my philosophy around the team?
Great question. I think it's a little bit of both, which is kind of unique. I've got a little bit of old school in me and probably a lot of bit of new school in me, realizing you gotta go with what you got. I was probably one of the few people in the country that had, for about a 4 or 5 year stretch, I had a 7 foot guy. And I had 2 7 footers for a while. I had Adam Woodbury, who played down in Iowa. And then we had another guy, Ike, who went out to UCLA. So I had both those guys. And when you have 7 foot Division I guys, how you play is a little different than when you have a bunch of 6'3" guys running around. So in that time, you had to change a little bit. But we run it's a disciplined program, I believe. We got a very, very strong youth program, which I think is crazy important if you're going to be at any school for a long time. Like I said, we have a youth program here in town that we've run. Actually, my dad started it. This is the 30th year. And we annually we're a little low this year due to COVID and some other reasons, but we annually have about 600 kids in that program from third grade to eighth. And I think that's where you get them. If they don't develop during that time, I mean, if you think you're going to get a kid as a varsity player and he hasn't done much as a younger kid, I hate to say this, they're behind. So you gotta get them going young. And I think we've done a great job of that. Not just me, but everybody involved. And then also, I don't want to say the season never stops, but it never stops. If you want to be good anymore, you gotta do some AAU stuff in the spring. You gotta, during June, which is legal in Iowa, by the way, people will go, oh God, what are they doing over there? We practice in June every day. I mean, it's like Texas spring football. I mean, we practice, totally legal. And then we play in the weekend shootouts all over, you know, I don't know, in a normal year, which this year obviously wasn't normal, we'll play 25 to 30 games in shootouts during June. Then in July, we kind of let the AAU people say, do your deal. I think that's important too. And then, you know, toward the end of July, the football kids need to get going with football. But if you're not playing football or cross country in the fall, then we want you. I mean, we're going to start doing workouts. And we have an outside person that does those. So once again, legal. But if you sit around playing your stupid video games, that doesn't make you a better basketball. I don't, what's the NBA 2K or whatever the heck that, I'm old, man. I don't even know the names of these things anymore. But if you think you're good at that and that's going to make you a good player, you're crazy. You know, you got to get out on that court and work. So yeah, whether you're in a sport or not, we want you working.
And we've talked to many high school coaches who have said the exact same thing, that the youth program is so important. You know, if not to train on the philosophy of the older programs, but just to get that basketball in their hand and to learn the game, learn how it's played and, you know, what to do in certain situations. You mentioned a little bit about, you know, the youth program that you have, obviously been going on for a while. If you could talk a little bit more about that, you know, what all goes into that? You mentioned there's a crazy amount of kids in that. What do you, how do you coach them? How do you teach them? You know, what do you all, or what does that all entail?
Yeah. So we kind of during September and early October, we start taking registrations. We basically sign up by teams, but we will take individuals. And then the ones that aren't on teams, we make teams or put them on a team. So in a given year, I mean, we've had as many as 70 teams and as few as, you know, down to around 40, but still it's a lot of kids. And we try to get them several practices a week, which court time is invaluable anywhere in the world. I mean, if you can find a court that you can use, it's good luck. I think it's important to practice more than one time a week. I mean, now, granted, as youth, you're not going to get 5 times a week. I understand that. But if you can get 2, and maybe as you get into the 7th and 8th grade, somehow get 3, that's great. And like I said, the teams that come in from my side of town or from the East feeder teams, we try to help them out. We provide a youth clinic for them. We talk to the coaches all the time. We invite them to our practices. They can see what we do and see how hard you got to work to be good. We stress all the little things. You know, make sure kids are showing up to practice. Make sure they're on time. You know, we We go out and buy uniforms for them, so they all look very nice. We don't got one team wearing cutoff T-shirts and one team wearing NBA stuff, and then they feel terrible about it. And so, you know, I don't want to look like a control freak, but I think all that's important. If you have a group of kids decked out in NBA stuff, and then a bunch of dudes over here with stuff from a half price store, they're going to quit. But, you know, they're not going to play anymore. So you got to find a happy medium there. Nice stuff that doesn't cost $500, but make sure it's nice so they all feel good about it. So I think that's important.
I tell you what, if you have that many teams, so I've been pretty involved with my daughter's, the Johnston Basketball Club is the club that she plays for, and I'm on the board, and you know, we have anywhere between 25 to 30 teams in that club, and I know the nightmares and headaches that we have of scheduling games and tournaments and everything. We only have 25 teams, and so thinking of trying to run 70 and get everybody two nights a week to get into the gym and then figure out what tournaments are on the weekend. That's crazy. I mean, you guys definitely have a good thing going if you're able to get that many kids on your side of town.
It's crazy. Like I said, this is the 30th year. We've got the program called Hayworth Hoops, but it got so big. It got too big. So my brother, he started along the other side of town, and now he's full too. So, I mean, it takes somebody about half crazy and half stupid with a little bit of energy and organization to make it all work. Because when you think you got it all figured out, as you know, Team 47 calls and they can't play at 1 o'clock because Johnny's got a birthday party, and we can only play after 3 o'clock. Well, now you got to start changing stuff, and oh boy, it's an interesting process.
It is, and as you mentioned, I mean, these times too, we've had more board meetings than I know what to do with this whole COVID and everything going on. But I think more than anything, obviously, it has made a huge difference on your program and the success and future success. I mean, we talked about it. Coaching at the high school level is very different than coaching at the college level because you can't go out and pick your kids. So you got to take what's coming, and the best way is to foster that and develop these kids from a young age. But just the fact that you have that sheer number of kids, whether it's east side, west side, whatever side of town it is up there playing basketball, that's always a positive, and that's a good thing. That's what we like to see is kids out playing the sport.
Well, I always say if they're not, they don't have to necessarily be a sport. Get involved in some activity. It can be music or any of those types of things. Get involved in something, because if kids aren't involved in something, they normally turn to trouble. And I don't want to say that as a negative, but it's the truth. You know, if you give kids free time and they're unsupervised because mom and dad are at work or whatever, even the good kids take a left turn at times. You got to give them something to do. It's supervised.
Keep them busy. That's for sure. So. Hey, Coach, so help me understand, I guess, more than anything, as far as the setup and things go up there in Sioux City, obviously Sioux City East, what are you looking at? How many kids do you have in your program, freshman through varsity? I mean, what are we looking at as far as numbers and involvement?
Yep, so we have two freshman teams every year, and we try to have between 12 and 15 on those two teams. So 25 to 30 freshmen will be kept. The JV team will have 15, and the varsity team will have 15. So we're right close to that 60 number, 55 to 60 in the actual program, 9 through 12. Then obviously we used to be two freshmen, a sophomore team, and then a varsity. And then the powers above me decided it'd be a good idea to change that. I won't comment on that, but that's what we got now. That's what everybody in the city has right now. Most of them have one freshman team. But I'm one of those hardcore guys that thinks that more kids playing, the more opportunities, the better they get. And you know, by splitting them up, they may not be as good a team, but they all get to play a lot more. One great thing last year, we have a good freshman, like sophomores now. We split them up, and they each play about a 15-game schedule, a city schedule, and some outlying, Sergeant Bluff, Lamar's, Yankton, South Dakota, some of those teams, Hull Western. And both one of those teams was, I believe one was 19-0 and one was 18-1, and they played each other in the city championship. So that's, I can't even screw that up.
That's
so
awesome.
We got something good coming down the line.
And that's huge too. I mean, it's so hard. We talked about big schools and the specialization that we're starting to see. I mean, you have to stay competitive, but having these kids have to make a decision by their freshman year, or even, I mean, the development, you don't know how these kids are going to develop either. And so it's, I mean, keep those kids around as long as possible. And obviously then once you start to get, you know, junior, senior year, then it's definitely kind of start to separate themselves. And so I like to see that. Give these kids opportunities and figure out what happens after that.
I'm 100% with you. We had a little time when we had too much specialization going on here. We're coming out of that right now. More kids are multiple sport kids, which I totally support. I think not just because I'm a football guy, but I think all kids should play football because it makes them tougher. You know, getting a little bump on your arm, you don't got to run to the trainer. That's just called a bruise, and you're going to be okay. You know, and I believe in crazy stuff like that. Sometimes these kids are crazy talented, but then when they get on the basketball court and they fall down and skin their elbow, it's like they got terminal cancer. You just got a skinned elbow. You know, get up, let's move on. So I think that toughness factor is huge. I think organization, you got to show up to practice. You're competitive every day, either a practice or a game. I think all that just kind of breeds itself and breeds success.
We've had college coaches on here before talk about the whole specialization and actually how they enjoy to see athletes that they have targeted, obviously to play basketball, enjoy watching them play other sports, because now all of a sudden you're not the best on your team. Like, you might be the best basketball player on your team, but you're not the best football, baseball, you know, whatever other sports you're playing. And so how does your role change? Are you a different teammate? You know, are you able to overcome adversity? And so there's a lot of life lessons and a lot of skills that can be developed through playing other sports than just the one that maybe you are the man at.
No, you're 100% right. I'm a little, like I said, I'm a little weird in some things. I think, you know, no, we're here, we're trying to win basketball games. We're trying to teach them things. I think we're trying to teach them a lot of life lessons as well. You know, accept success, accept defeat, organization, discipline, being on time. If you're not on time for your job, when you graduate, you're getting fired. So you got to be on time. Don't give me your 1 minute late. Hey, I'm good. My bad. My bads don't work. I mean, you got to be on time. 5 minutes, 5 minutes early is late. You know, get your shirt tucked in and get to practice. I think some of them look at me like, what's this old guy? What's his deal? You know, and I don't care, but that's how it is. They're all not going to the NBA, believe me. You know, so let's teach them some real lessons. We're trying to win games, but at the end of the day, let's teach them some real lessons here too.
And it's funny you mentioned that too, Coach. When I was playing for Coach McDermott at UNI, he was always, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late. And now, you know, now that I'm, 15 years past college, I still have that mindset of, hey, we're not, you know, my family, we have kids, so we're late a little more than I'd like to be. But, you know, I still have the mindset as we're driving to places, as I'm going to places, that, hey, I'm not 5 minutes early, so I'm late. And so it's funny how that mindset kind of sticks with you too.
Absolutely. And I think our players over time have bought into it great. Our assistant coaches have. My wife is the problem. I tell her all the time, 5 minutes early is late. And she's looking at me like, shut up. I'm still working with her. We're getting up in age, but time isn't over yet. So we've got some time yet.
Good.
No, that's great. Yeah. Like Adam said, I mean, some of that stuff, it just instills in you. And like you said, maybe some of these kids, the young ones might think you're a little tough or a little unfair. I hear that quite a bit too, but all of a sudden 5-10 years down the road, they'll be like, man, Coach Raz had it going on. Like I took more from that guy than maybe I could have ever imagined.
You know, I believe this when I say it. I think I'm actually okay at teaching life lessons. I'm an average coach. I mean, I'm very average at that. But when they graduate, like I said, most of them aren't going to major college or any college or the MBA. So let's teach them some things they can actually use in life. I'm weird about making sure their shirts are tucked in. Look presentable. You know, when you go to get a job, your shirt better not be hanging out. You ain't getting that job. Tuck your shirt in, tie your shoes, look me in the eye. You know, is it old school? I don't know what it is, but it's working.
I was going to say, it's working for you. Obviously, you've built quite the program up there. You guys have had a lot of success and obviously continue moving forward. You know, given the current situation, obviously we have no idea what it's going to hold, but what do you feel about, or how do you feel about your team? Fingers crossed that we get to play a little basketball this year. I know you guys had a good year last year. Was it 17-5 or something, I think I saw. So what are you looking forward to most about this year's team?
We tell you what, we've been very fortunate to have a lot of good players and do very well and win a lot of games. Going into this year, we weren't quite sure. I thought we'd be okay. We got a ton of young, good players. We got more 6'3" long arm kids that love to play basketball than you can count, which that's a good thing. We picked up a new point guard, a Division I point guard, not recruited by the way. It showed up. And you know, when you add a Division I point guard to any team, your dynamics change drastically. And they really do. He's just a junior. He's a tremendous athlete. He's obviously a very good basketball player, athletic. He came from Arkansas. did a great job and played football and did a great job for our football team as a defensive back. So like I said, when you add a high level player to a bunch of young guys that love to play, like I said, your whole thought process and dynamics changed. So now you can do some things that maybe or maybe not you could have done before. So I think we'll be very competitive. I'm not calling out the state champions because the trophy's already been made and Joaquin picked it up about a week ago. So they're going to be the state champions.
That's crazy.
But I think we have a nice team, and I think we'll be very competitive. We'll see what happens, whether we get all of our games in or half or whatever we get. I don't know. I joke with some people that, you know, this and that. I said, you know, the last 3 years we've been beat out by the state champions. So last year we play Ankeny in the sub-state game. Great game. We got a 7-point lead. I start coaching, then we lose. 2 years prior to that, we get absolutely drilled by a great Cedar Falls team who went on to win state championship. Great, great program, great players at Cedar Falls High. And that was at the state tournament. But when we've gotten to state before that, we've had good success, and I think we're kind of an unknown over here to a lot of people. And you know, we kind of beefed up our schedule. We picked up Yankton, South Dakota, who's got this Moore kid that's going to Wisconsin. Big, strong kid. I mean, we've gotten into the Omaha schools now, which for many years they were locked into a schedule and they had no games to give. Now they do. So we picked up some of them. We've actually been to Des Moines several times, played Johnston two or three years ago down to Wells Fargo, went over to Cedar Rapids, Kennedy. So we're finally getting to that side of the state to kind of say, hey, this is who we are. And, you know, we're not horrible. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Yeah, I did notice, so that year you lost to Cedar Falls, obviously a good Cedar Falls team. They should be good again this year too. It'll be interesting to see, like you said, Joaquin's got to be the front runner. Cedar Falls probably right behind him. But one thing I noticed going through looking at some of your scores, obviously you guys had the ability to put up a lot of points, but you ran into that Cedar Falls buzzsaw. It looked like you only what, 46 or something like that. That had to have been a little bit of a rough night for you.
I'm still trying to uncave my head from that night. It got beat in so bad. It's, you know, it's one of those nights. Is that the team we were all year? No. But part of that had to do with Cedar Falls. You know, is what it is. Like I said, I give them all the credit. They whipped us. Am I telling you that if we played 100 times, they're going to beat us 100 times? I'm not going to say that. But they surely beat us in every facet of the game. They were just better. And sometimes you run into that. And we certainly did that day.
You mentioned coming down and playing a little bit more in this area. Obviously, the goal is always to come down here in March. How big of an impact, obviously, trip down, not what you guys are used to, probably a little bit further. Obviously, a lot of metro schools, you know, taking the short 20-minute drive across. And so anything that you do to try to prepare differently for Wells Fargo, for the trip, for getting these kids the experience needed so you can put together a title run?
Yeah, basically every year. Now, this year is obviously different. It's a crazy year. But every year prior to this year, we have tried to line up a game in a what I would call an arena, an NBA, Wells Fargo. We've been to the Target Center in Minneapolis, I think, 4 or 5 times. We went over to the, I don't know what they call it now, the U.S. Cellular in Cedar Rapids. They didn't change names or whatever. But we've been down to the CenturyLink in Omaha. I want those kids to play in a big arena. So if and when we're lucky enough to make it to the state tournament, they don't walk in and go, oh, my goodness, look how high the ceiling is, and there's no background, and so we try to do that every year. We played in the Pentagon up in Sioux Falls, which, by the way, is an incredible facility if you ever have a chance to go up there. So we try to do that every year. And normally it's an overnight trip, kind of like a state tournament deal. When you go to the state tournament, you stay overnight. So we try to get down there, stay overnight, and then play the game. So if we're lucky enough to get there, this isn't anything new. We've done it. We've been on, you know, we've gotten in vans or buses or whatever we take. We get there, we go to the hotel, we get up the next morning, we find a shoot around. You know, we find somewhere where there's a cracked door open, we can sneak in and do a shoot around and then go play the game. So that's we try to make it just like a state tournament approach.
You also take a little bit, as you mentioned, I mean, the approach and the setup and the mindset, kind of have a little bit of the D1 feel up there. You guys, it sounds like you have a little contract maybe with Nike. You get these guys hooked up with some gear. It sounds like you recently did some renovations to get the locker rooms all set up. And so what's your mindset or philosophy behind making sure that these guys look good, feel good?
I'm weird. You're probably figuring that out by now. But I think it's if you want to be big time, be big time. Don't talk about it. You got to do it. Now, most high schools don't have the resources or the funds to be like the big timers. but you can try to get as close as you can. Like I said, we got a whole bunch of Nike stuff that kids love. I mean, we all know that. We got Nike on our sport tables and pads on the end of the gym. We got more Nike than you can have. Our locker room, I'm going to brag for 1 second, is incredible. It is a Division I style locker room, big open wooden lockers, two couches, two TVs, you name it, refrigerator. I mean, there are Division I schools that probably don't have something like that. Now, in saying that, I always tell our guys, you know, we provided this for you, but in turn, we need you to work hard. You know, this is a benefit for you, but the payback is you need to work hard. And they do.
You mentioned up Sioux Falls, the Pentagon. What do you think of Gonzaga, Iowa coming up here? Hopefully, what do you think of that matchup?
Well, I'm a huge Iowa fan. Obviously, Gonzaga is incredible. You know, but you get them on a neutral court in the middle of South Dakota. I mean, who knows? You know, Iowa's obviously, this is probably the best team they've had since the Roy Marble days. And you know, they've got a lot of pieces of the puzzle, big Luka, and they got good guard play, and I think their depth is as good as it's been in a long time. But Gonzaga's Gonzaga. I mean, they're incredible too. So, you know, on a given night, neutral court, Hawkeyes by 3.
Ooh, I like it. We'll take that. That's for sure.
Wait a minute, even the UNI guys didn't take that?
I'm just here to listen, and but I can see that happening. I can't see that happening. They got a really good team this year.
It killed you to say that.
Hey, so Coach, we talked a little bit about it in the beginning, but you're actually not the first court coach that we've had on. Coach Oliver Drake did some time with USA Basketball as a court coach as well, and so. Obviously, it sounded like this was a show Walter doing, but how did that come about, and what are some of your roles with Team USA?
Well, 100% Don Showalter. That's how it happened. That's how it goes. I lucky enough have been working now there for 3.5 years, I believe. Where I think I have an official title of is USA Basketball Ambassador. Sounds important, but you know, it is what it is.
Sounds very important.
I've done quite a few of their academies, or I've spoken some things for USA. I've been all over the country doing it. I enjoy it. Like I said, just when you put on the shirt that says USA Basketball, it's like a whole nother deal. It's an honor, number one. It's a huge honor. But it's a standard that's high, and you gotta, you know, adhere to that. And the things I've gotten to be able to do, like I said, be involved in the national team training camps. I was in Colorado in one. I was in Minneapolis at the Final Four for another one maybe 2 years ago now. Incredible. I mean, these guys are, well, they're national team guys. They're NBA guys. I mean, they're high level, incredibly talented, some, you know, guys. That year at Minneapolis, we actually had Kamen Lipsy from Ames, Central Iowa guy, who's played on the 16 and under a world championship team. Great player, had the knee problem last year. I hope he bounces back, which I'm hearing things are good. But the talent level is incredible, absolutely incredible. You know, you think in the Midwest, you see like some really good players, and then you see that. They just jump a little higher, maybe run a little faster. I'd say the shooting is probably every bit as good. Great shooters in the Midwest, in Iowa, they're every bit as good as the shooters at the national level. They really are. But the athleticism, you know, that's probably where the change is, you know, it really is. But I always think in Iowa and Minnesota, Nebraska, you know, teams in the Midwest, we've got great three-point shooters. You know, we got kids that sit out there at the arc, and they got great form to get the shot off. It's just that at the national, I mean, NBA-type level, it's an athleticism deal.
And shooter shoot, we obviously say that on here all the time. But if you're able to shoot the basketball and at least prevent straight line drives to the basket, the coach will find some minutes for you.
And if you're not playing on your team, Sioux City East could use about 3 more. So if you're listening to this, give me a call.
Yep.
So you mentioned the Final Four, and one of the things I know that in the coaching realm, the cool things that a lot of you coaches that have the opportunity to do is to make a trip of it and to get to the Final Four wherever it's at. You talked about being up in Minneapolis, and I'll preface this by saying you can completely plead the fifth on this if you want, but I needed to ask a quick story as far as, do you have any tricks as far as getting down to the lower level There happened to be a story about how easy it is to get down to the lower level. You have anything you can tell us about that?
I have several answers for you. I'll tell you one quick stupid story I'll probably get arrested for later, but I'll tell you anyway. I've been fortunate and lucky enough. I think I've been to 26 or 7 Final Fours. I want to go forever. It's a great time. And there's a group of coaches. We all kind of hang out and have a wonderful time. And normally when you go, you know, you're like everybody else, so you don't have tickets. I mean, and we're not in the position to spend $1,000 for a ticket. We're not doing that. So we've had a good time over the times of acquiring tickets and maybe buying and selling a few of them, whatever. I'll give you just a real quick kind of a dumb story. We were in New Orleans many years ago with my brother and a couple other guys, and we ended up buying 2 tickets in row 9 million. I mean, you couldn't even see the uniforms from where top of the dome. We both said, well, we're not staying up here. No chance. I can't even see the court. So my brother, we're at the wedge of the upper deck, and he says, during the national anthem, we're going down there. I said, well, how are we getting down? Because it was all a different level. You had to go, you couldn't get down the stairs or the elevators or whatever. And he said, during the national anthem, we're going down there. I said, how are we going? He goes, down that curtain. And they had probably, I don't know, my goodness, it seemed like 500-foot curtain. It was probably 50 feet. I don't know what it was. National anthem starts up. He goes over the rail, down the curtain. And I'm looking at him like, are you kidding me? I mean, we're going to jail. He gets down there, and I see him talking to a guy. And all of a sudden, he takes his shoe off, puts something in it, and he throws the shoe to the upper deck to me with a ticket stub for the lower level. He calls me and says, hey, show that ticket stub to the usher and get down here. So I went over and said, hey, sir. He goes, oh, you're in the wrong section. You got to go down there.
So I went to wow.
It took us right down there, and I think we sat in about row 10. So
that's perfect. That's the story I heard too. I knew it was something about throwing a shoe to the upper deck. So that was the one I was hoping for.
I can verify the story.
That's great. We a couple of buddies of mine had the opportunity to go up to Minneapolis when the Final Four was up there, and I forget who Saturday night the first game. You know, obviously the fans all have their seats down below, and then after it's over, the cool thing about Saturday, they all leave. So we did the same thing. We went down. We were probably for the second game. We were probably 10 rows from the floor. Yeah. Like it's a neat experience. Obviously, if you're a hoop head or basketball junkie at all, it's worth the trip no matter where it's at.
And just being around that atmosphere with all the commotion and they're mostly basketball people and they're having fun. And if you ever have a chance to get to a Final Four, I know probably Indianapolis is probably the next closest one. You know, during this time it's crazy, but hopefully in the future it gets back to semi-normal. Go to them. They're great events. They're fun to be around. It's a good deal.
That's great. No, that's a wonderful story. So one of the other things,
I got a few more stories I can tell you off air.
Yeah, those are when we come up to catch a game. Those are the ones we want to hear too. So that's for sure. But one other thing that you brought up that I want to bring up here is speaking. You've had an opportunity to go around and do some coaching clinics. I think one of the coolest things about the coaching profession is it's such a small and great community to be a part of. We've enjoyed having so many coaches come on and talk on here. But what has the speaking been like for you in the coaching clinics, and just how great is it to have that camaraderie with other professionals in your craft?
No, it's great. You know, you're figuring this out. I don't have a problem talking. If I talk too much, I'm comfortable in front of people doing it. I don't know anything really about anything, but I have fun with it. I think you get those guys that stand up there straight faced and they're talking about a 2-3 zone and they're drawing the play and you stand here. I can listen to that for about 5 seconds. I can't handle it. So I think you got to put a little life into what you're doing. I've been fortunate enough to speak, like you said, with USA Basketball, kind of all over Detroit, Chicago, Charlotte, Vegas, all over. Great, great experiences. Great, meet incredible people, high-ranking people. But, you know, just be passionate about it. Be organized and be passionate. And if you are, you know, I think people, most of them, I think, enjoy it. I mean, they get something from it. You know, but you got to put a little zip into it. Number one, keep people awake, and you know, number two, they're never going to walk out of there with 50 things, but give them one or two things, you know. And like I said, have a little fun with it, and be passionate about it, and be organized.
Yeah, and like Brian said, you know, one of the best parts about doing this podcast is the connections that we're making within the coaching community. And as you kind of mentioned, you know, some of the coaches who may not be able to, you know, have those mentors like you did, or have those mentors like others did, but helping them along in their path. You know, we take great pride in the coaches that listen to our podcast and happen to have some knowledge transfer from you, an experienced coach, with a rookie coach, is very cool to us as well. So, well, coach, we like to end our podcast with a little section called Rapid Fire, where Brian's going to hit with a couple questions. Let's see, some hard, some relatively easy, but just
easy for me.
Answer with whatever comes to mind.
Okay.
And they've been fun, and we found out that not always so rapid, which is fine. We like the stories that come with them too. So, first one, hopefully maybe an easy one here for you. Favorite visiting gym or arena that you've had the opportunity to coach in? So visiting, we all love our home gyms. We know that. So when you go on the road, what's a visiting gym or arena that tops your list?
I mean, the one they talked about earlier, the Target Center in Minneapolis, the Pentagon, Sioux Falls, those are arena type gyms. People will kill me for saying this, but the old Heelan gym is a cracker box at a stage on one side. Everybody heard it. I actually like it. So.
Those Cracker Jacks, those are the best shooters gyms. So that's something that I would love playing in those too.
Old school.
Love having a nice backdrop. Always makes it a little bit easier. So Adam kind of alluded to this, but what's the number one piece of advice you would give a rookie coach or someone just starting out in the profession?
Be passionate about what you're doing, believe in what you're doing, and be organized. Don't think you're going to show up November 15th and coach the team and be done on February 28th, and then next year try it again. You got to be into it. You got to have a heartbeat, and and you got to get good help. And if there's somebody in your town that maybe was a former college player, or just somebody that has the same thought base you do, get them on board. Get them their coaching endorsement. Get them. I don't care if it's a freshman coach, sophomore, JV, assistant, whatever. Get them in your program. I've got 11 assistant coaches. And people look at me like, what's wrong with you? I said, no, they're good. You know, everybody's got great staffs. Everybody does. I've got the greatest. And I'm not kidding you. And that's why we've done what we've done. I get a lot of the credit. They do a lot of the work. But I think you hire great people. I think I learned that from people like Hayden Fry, you know, Walt Fiegel and some of them. You got to get good help.
Yeah, that's great. No, I 100% agree with that. So probably have a little bit of a sponsorship issue with this one, but we always got to ask our guests. Do you have a favorite basketball shoe?
Oh, Nike shoe. I grew up in the Jordan times, and the Jordan stuff I like, but I'm a Nike guy all the way to the end.
Yeah, that I figured that was the answer once we got into it, but we didn't ask that one time, and our guest kind of called us out on it. So always got to, even if we think we know the answer, we got to ask. So, who's the best team that you've ever had a chance to watch? Best team that you've ever watched over the years? Maybe you were involved with. Maybe it was a team you watched growing up. But who was the best team that you ever remember watching?
High school, college, or pro?
Any.
Well, I mean, I'll kind of go each level. I had the great opportunity to coach against Ames High team with Harrison Barnes and Doug McDermott and that whole crew in the state tournament. Great. It actually, I think we played them the closest game they had in 2 years. The great game. They won, by the way.
They didn't lose a game for 2 years. That's wild.
That's right. It's one of those games that at the end we lost, but we kind of felt good about it. Like, that's all we had. Left it out there. So they would obviously be one. I'm a huge Bulls fan during the Jordan time. So the Bulls, during that whole deal when they were rolling, I think they were awesome. I'm a Carolina fan, you know, a huge Carolina fan. So any of those teams, as long as they beat Duke, I don't care. You know, that's what I'm into. I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan. So, you know, any and all of those.
That's good. No, I like the distinction between the different levels too. So, we talked about it earlier, but when Adam and I make a way up to Sioux City, where do we got to stop and get a bite to eat before we come to the game?
Oh, a place called Bob Rose. It's a local sports bar. It's a good place, great supporters, food's good. 100 TVs, the whole deal. It's not a franchise deal. It's a homemade sports bar. It's great.
Perfect. We love the casino. Yeah, there you go. We love the homemade too. We want something specific to Sioux City. Lets us know we're in the greater northwest of Iowa, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, good. So sticking with Sioux City, help us out because you know Central Iowa originally North Central Iowa, but don't have a ton of experience. But I need help putting together my all-time Sioux City starting five. This is where I've started. I'm obviously got Woodbury and Heinrich and yep. Ben Jacobson. Is there where else we go from there?
I think you got to probably throw Nate Funk in there. Went to Helan, was a great player at Creighton back in the Valley days. Him and Benny were the same grade, so we had great battles with Helan at that time. Here's a good story. When Dana Altman came to recruit, he actually came to Sioux City, the East, to recruit Ben Jacobson. And before that, he had stopped over at Helan, at their open gym, and said, who's that guy? Ended up taking him. Mistake. But here's what it is. You know, Benny had a great career at UNI. Love him to death. You know, fun guy to be around, sometimes too fun. But Adam probably has heard stories about that, you know. So
I've heard stories and I've witnessed that, for sure.
So, yeah, I'm not speaking up short on that. No. No, Benny's doing great. Lives in Las Vegas. Let's see. Dang it. There's a whole bunch of guys in that next level, but who would be in the five?
You know who I always I don't think gets enough credit, Coach, is Landon Scott.
Landon Scott, incredible shooter. Just a heart this big. I mean, he refused to lose. It's kind of a corny deal, but it is. When Landon was on the court, we had a chance every night. I remember going down to Harlan. We were 4A. Harlan was 3A, and they were number one. I think we were number two. Packed gym, great atmosphere. Just one of those nights you live for in high school sports. We win the game, I think, 80-78, Landon at 41 points. At half the points. He's hitting shots from you name it.
He could fill it up for sure.
When he had it going, get out of the way. Because, when you put him and Benny together, that's when we won our state championship. Landon was a junior, Benny was a senior, beat Waterloo East. But that was a great, great duo, those two guys. You know, Helan's had a whole bunch of good players, you know, over time. West had a few, Norris obviously had some, but that fifth one, I'm missing somebody in there. But there was some talented dudes. Sioux City, for being way over here, and I know you fancy Des Moines guys think we're in Nebraska. The river's actually on that side, so we're in Iowa. There was a Division I basketball player in Sioux City for 15 straight years. Unknown fact. People are going to go. I'm not saying he's high in Sioux City. So east, northwest of Helan. Yeah. And that's, you know, when you have a Division I guy in your town or multiple, the level of play by everybody goes up. You know, so it's good to have that. You know, so you know we've like I said, we've all had some good players. You know, who's the next one? Landon would be a good choice. Like the Helan's had a whole run of guys going way back.
Well, how about the next time we have you on, we'll hold you to an answer to that number five.
100%. 100%. I might even have that person on with me.
There you go. Let's do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. You mentioned real quick that Waterloo East team that you guys played in the finals. I mean, what a team that was. That had to have been a little bit of a tough scout, especially obviously you were prepared for it going in, you know, with them making it to the finals. But quick turnaround, tough scout, tough dudes to be able to eke out that win. Obviously, Ben had a big part of that. But that had to have been an unbelievable game for you and the staff.
Unbelievable game. At halftime, Benny, I think he had one basket, so he had two. At halftime, he was reminded that if you're a good player, then be a good player. You know, stop watching what's going on and make it happen. Second half, he had 23.
Yep.
So the flip got, you know, but they had a great team, Carlton Reed and Henderson and those kids. Great. Steve McGraw had done a great job over there at East for 100 years. It was kind of like Hoosiers. I mean, these little guys from out west, out here in the Timberlands, coming to the big city and win it, you know. So it was kind of a fairy tale deal, and people still talk about it around here, which is good. Keep people excited, but no, that was a great time. Great
that
time.
W- That was a fun game. I was in the house for that. I remember watching it. And yeah, obviously Benny Drew Henderson, who was a tough guard. I mean, he's still probably one of the better defenders at the high school level. Just put the clamps on. And so that was quite the second half. That's for sure.
Another little unknown fact. We played them during the year at East, here in Sioux City, and beat them.
Oh, wow. Really? Like I said, yeah.
2-0.
That's a good peg to hang your hat on. That's for sure. So
we had played, we had played Patrick Henry out of Minneapolis, which I believe had 4 Division I guys, and it knocked them off. Surprisingly, I don't know how. And then I think we played Heelan next, so I think it was number 1 in like 3A with Funk and those guys, and beat them. And then we're thinking, oh God, here comes Water Luis, and somehow we beat them. So it was an incredible year, great year. Things to remember, great memories.
I think you guys you'll take that under the radar underdog role. It seems to work out pretty well for you.
I kid my friends down in the Des Moines area, mostly a few in Cedar Rapids, that, Sioux City's in Iowa, get the map out. We have the internet over here now. We got running water and power, so we're not a bunch of hillbillies sitting on top of the hill. Every once in a while we throw something together, so don't forget about us. So.
That's great. That's perfect. So, well, 2 more here for you, Coach. Next one, this is probably a tough one given your background, but if you were not coaching, what would you be doing?
Oh, my God. Probably dealing blackjack at the casino.
Hey, that's not a bad deal. That must be pretty good with numbers, right? Oh, well, good. All right. So then last one, it's a little bit of a loaded one. You've mentioned it, but what's the best thing about being the head boys basketball coach for Sioux City East?
The people I get to deal with, and I'm dead serious. I'm not making that up. We got good kids to deal with. Like I said, our school administration is awesome to deal with. Our community support, our home games. We got a big gym. And if people, like I said, that aren't familiar with us, that's fine. We have great support, and there's not a lot to do here. So on Friday nights and Tuesday nights, you go to high school basketball. So we have enormous crowds. Like I said, it's a kid that goes here to school when they leave here, and sometimes when they go to maybe some colleges, they're going like, we had it better over last year. So like I said, I can't thank our fans and supporters, everybody. I realize it's an unknown because where we're located, but it's an incredible job. Whoever gets this thing after me is going to go, wow, it is an incredible job. So I'm not lying one bit. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Maybe the Waukee team this year, but other than that, I'm not trading it for nothing.
Hey, so you mentioned it gets it after you. Is there another Vanderloo that we can expect to pass this thing down, or what's that looking like a couple years down the road?
My son is our JV coach. But I'm not sure he's ready for this fire yet. Sometimes when you're the head coach, your skin needs to be a little thicker than most. You get shot at and hit a few times, but I've been hit so many times, I'm still standing. So let's go. I mean, if he gets a little tougher, maybe.
He'll build those calluses up a little bit over the years here. You just got to buy enough time and let him roll in there about the time you're ready to roll out. So
I'm not sure I got that much time.
Well, Coach, speaking of time, we appreciate you taking the time and talking with us, bringing a little bit of that Western Iowa flavor to the podcast. We appreciate you following, taking some time to chat with us. We wish you the best of luck. Obviously, fingers crossed that everything's going to come together and at least get a partial season or some basketball for these kids and have a little fun. But, again, thanks for jumping on with us, Coach.
Absolutely. I appreciate what you guys do. You're promoting high school basketball or all basketball in the state of Iowa, which is great. Keep doing it. I'm listening all the time. If you ever need anything in Western Iowa, let me know.
Awesome, Coach. Well, as Brian said, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. It was a great conversation. And as usual, with our listeners, if you enjoy what you're hearing, wherever you get your podcast, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating. You can check us out on social media, on Facebook, Shooters Touch, and on Twitter and Instagram at the Shooters Touch IA, and our new website, shooterstouchpodcast.com. As usual, shooters shoot. Cause I'm right in my mind, hustling harder than ever before. Saying I change cause I like when I shine. The diamonds hit different like Mike in his prime. I got the shooter's touch, yeah. Can't nobody ball like me.